T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Welcome, welcome. It's 3:08. Jordana Green, Paul Douglas, David at the helm. It might be the only day we're together, maybe Thursday this week. So welcome. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Jordan, doing okay. You hanging out okay? Everything okay?
I'm doing okay. Yeah. It's a beautiful day, and we are hearing some good news. I know it's not great news, but it is good news. You heard it in the top of the hour headlines. The city of Louisville, Kentucky, has agreed to pay $12 million to the family of Breonna Taylor and institute a series of police reforms to settle the wrongful death lawsuit by the family. Now, there is no amount of money that will bring Breonna Taylor back. We know that. There is no amount of money that can ever be paid that will lessen a family's pain by this horrible death of Breonna Taylor, in which, you know, she was a complete and innocent victim. And again, it's just money at this point. But the fact that a series of police reforms will be put in place, that maybe the family can have some financial relief, whatever their issues were, and the acknowledgement that wrong was done in this case and change needs to be made. That's what needs to happen in the case of Breonna Taylor and all of those wrongfully killed by police. So I, for one, think this is a good step in the right direction, and acknowledgement is a big part of that step. I'm thrilled about this development.
Sure, actions have consequences. That's and right. These are the consequences of those terrible actions. The other story that caught my eye, if you missed this, yesterday the president was in California. He met with California Governor Gavin Newsom and other state officials to get an update on the ongoing efforts to fight these massive blazes. Here are a couple of clips from yesterday.
If we ignore that science and sort of put our head in the sand and think it's all about vegetation management, we're not going to succeed together protecting Californians.
Okay. It'll start getting cooler.
You just watch. I wish science agreed with you.
Hey, well, I don't think science knows, actually.
Actually, science does know. There's a lot of evidence. There's a lot of data. But look, we love simple TV soundbite, radio soundbite answers. Climate change is flavoring all weather now. It is making the West drier and hotter, Jor. It's making, you know, east of the Rockies quite a bit warmer and wetter. But there are other factors. There are a myriad of factors. And prescribed burns, getting rid of some of that vegetation, the old growth, the old dead trees. Yeah, that is one of many factors. But that doesn't mean that you ignore the elephant in the living room, which is a warmer climate. The West has warmed up 2 degrees in the past 50 years. So coming up, we're going to talk with Steve Webb. He is in Bend, Oregon, to get a taste of what it's like with the smoke. And just retreating indoors doesn't help the situation. You know, it's amazing what folks out West are dealing with. But 9 cities saw their earliest snowfall ever. A South Dakota river was in flood stage for 17 months this year, Jor. The last decade, the hottest ever recorded on Earth. The California heat wave, 121, a couple of weeks ago in L.A. NOAA just reported it was the hottest summer on record for North America. Now we have those wildfires in the West and more hurricanes intensifying at the last minute because of consistently warmer water in the Gulf of Mexico and the Atlantic. So my take, I mean, take it or leave it, I'm a conservative. Conservatism means conserving, and I think protecting God's creation, being good stewards of what we've been given or loaned, and taking responsibility for our actions, trying to move things in the right direction. One thing we can agree on, Jure, maybe the only thing, we love our kids, right? I don't care what your politics is. We love our kids. We want the best for our kids. My take, again, if you deny the experts, the data, the science, the evidence, you are, in essence, denying reality, and it's going to make it harder for your kids and my kids and their kids. And I'm still an optimist at the end of the day. I think there are smart ways that we can clean things up that avoid a worst-case warming scenario and save us money in the process with cleaner, sustainable energy options. It's already happening. Jure, we just need to turn up the dial and go faster. But the symptoms of a warming climate are getting harder to dismiss and deny. And I'm hoping there are bipartisan solutions. We should be debating policy. What do we do about it? Not debating the science. Again, that's just my
So what is it like to breathe in the effects of all of this climate change, to breathe in the particles from these wildfires? We'll talk with Steve Webb next.
Paul Douglas back with you, and joining me right now, Steve Webb out in Bend, Oregon, with an update on the air quality and what it's like to live in the midst of some of this apocalyptic weather. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Now, you are in Bend. You are east of the mountains. You are southeast of Portland. Have you been getting the worst of the wildfires and the smoke plumes, or have you avoided some of the worst?
We're avoiding the fires so far, but we are definitely getting the worst of the smoke right now.
What about the air quality? I'm seeing some reports in your area around Bend and Portland. The AQI, the air quality index, as defined by the EPA, is up around 300, 400, even 500. That's up in the hazardous zone. Can you explain to listeners at home, what does that mean day to day? How are you coping with this?
Well, it feels like the beginning of COVID right now, except for you're trapped inside. COVID, we at least had the escape of our backyards or the outdoors. And where I live is kind of an outdoorsman's haven. So everyone's always out biking and hiking and things like that. But right now, everything is basically shut down. Restaurants, shops are closed. Schools are shut down. Even government buildings are closed down. Flights are canceled. And so the only things that are really open right now are big box retail stores. But you walk into those and it feels like a fog machine has been in there. It's just socked in completely. And so everyone's kind of in this same boat of scrambling for air filters and purifiers and scrambling to grab the last bit of fresh air that we can.
And Steve, congratulations in order. I understand your wife is pregnant. What special precautions, if any, can you take to protect your wife and your unborn child?
Yeah, and I have a two-year-old as well, so it's been a challenge just to keep our sanity trapped in the house for the past few days. But, you know, the one benefit of COVID is that we were kind of stocked up on some of these higher quality masks. You know, these cloth masks don't do much for the smoke, but those N95 masks have been helpful. So, you know, I went out and I was able to procure the last couple air filters in town and put those in and kind of rigged up the system hooked up with our fan so it could cycle some fresh air through. And even after 24 hours, those filters are starting to turn brown inside of our house. So you try to lock yourself in as much as possible and hunker down, but you know, the smoke finds a way to seep in and you really find out where some holes in your house.
So it smells like smoke indoors all the time. Are people upset, enraged, angry? Are they pointing fingers? I mean, what is the general consensus among your bubble, your colleagues, your friends?
Yeah, there's definitely a measure of that. There have been a number of reports of arson arrests going on, especially on the western side of the mountain. So Salem and Portland and, you know, a lot of communities have just completely vanished in the mountain passes. Small towns that have a lot of memories for a lot of people making that trip from Bend to Portland, and the different stops that they would have are just completely devastated at this point. So, you know, it's just another level of pain that's been added for the entire year.
Steve, what would you like to see done? I realize it's Mother Nature. There's only so much we can do. There's an ongoing debate. How much of this is climate change, the fact that it's warmer and drier? How much is forest management? Should we be developing areas along the wildland interface, you know, the buffer zone between forest land and urban areas? So all kinds of solutions being thrown out there to help the situation. What goes through your mind when you hear that?
You know, we heard reports earlier this year that a family in the forest industry that prescribed burns were postponed earlier this year because of the pandemic. And part of that is because of the respiratory issues that people would have. And so now it's adding more fuel to the fire on this. And so you have all these different pieces that are coalescing and causing these issues, plus the human side of it. You know, from an outsider's perspective or an amateur perspective, it's kind of hard to say, but there needs to be some level of responsible harvesting of trees, responsible prescribed burns, rather than just avoiding and pushing them off. And again, this has been just a complete year of unknowns and of new horizons. And so how do you learn to deal with that as we go forward? I think some of those prescribed burns would really help, especially on our side of the mountains where we do live in a desert area. Every August, we're used to having smoke for a couple of weeks as we, you know, kind of take care of some of those main issues. But I think that's what needs to continue to happen.
I know they do a lot of prescribed burns in the southeastern U.S., a lot of the pine forests, and that seems to help. If you have a lot of these smaller controlled burns, it lowers the risk of the conflagrations. But I hadn't connected the dots before chatting with you that perhaps COVID prevented some of those prescribed burns from taking place earlier in the year, and I get that. Last question. I understand you went to college with Dave Josephson. Do you have any good stories?
I like Dave too much to air some of those stories. But no, Dave has always been a good friend. He's always up for a good time. Dave is quite the expert baseball player, too. So I always liked being on a team with him because he just lifted everybody else and made me look good. So that's one of my favorite parts about Dave. He just elevated everybody else. And he's got a voice, a buttery voice, perfect for radio.
He sure does. That's the DJ we know and love, and we're lucky to have him as a producer and a dear friend. Steve, my best to you, your wife, your child-to-be, and your two-year-old. Stay safe out there, and thanks for spending some time today.
Sure thing. Happy to do it. Take care.
I taped that with Steve about an hour ago. My favorite part of that segment, DJ's buttery voice.
Buttery. Just buttery. He was way too nice to you, DJ. There have to be stories. You can't be this squeaky clean.
Steve is so nice. He has those stories. I'm sure he could bring a few, but he's just too nice. That's the problem.
But oh my goodness, the pregnant wife and breathing in this toxic air and having to get the air filters and not leaving the house. I mean, that's tragic for these people. Yeah. We've already living in a pandemic and now this?
Yeah. And Steve understood the story about the air filters. He literally went to Home Depot, got the last two air filters they were, and they weren't like the ones that fit his furnace. They were just any old air filter, and he duct taped them to the back of a box fan, you know, on something he found online somewhere, and says, if you don't have an air filter, here's the next best thing, and made this air filter that then, you know, maybe helps take his house from unlivable to just really bad.
It's a shame you have to go full MacGyver to make the air quality tolerable inside your home. But again, Steve did a good job connecting the dots. I hadn't heard that before, that because of the virus, there may have been fewer, smaller prescribed burns earlier in the season, getting rid of some of that vegetation, the old dead trees. And so, you know, could that be another factor? As usual, there's no single smoking gun. There are a lot of smoking guns when it comes to what's happening in the West. And again, that smoke drifting over Minnesota today, that's why the sun is orange out there, Jor.
Yeah, it was a little frightening this morning. See, it's even affecting us here. That was a great interview, DJ. Thank you for connecting us with him. And Paul, thank you for doing that. It's frightening. Let's take a break. When we get back, I found a breathing exercise to get rid of toxins if you're in your body. So if you found yourself, I mean, I don't know that it's going to work for those that are really in the thick of it out east, but if you found yourself breathing in, taking a morning run, breathing in some of that orange air that we were having, some breathing to detox next. Time to breathe, friends. And for those that are suffering with the wildfires, for those that are feeling the remnants of it, even, you know, halfway out of the country away in Oregon, we want to give them a breathing technique that will reduce pollutants in the body and detoxify the body. It's called Bastrika breathing. And its claim is to not allow toxins to be stored for too long in the body. So it's a fast breathing exercise. So let's do it together. Okay. Sit up tall, relax your shoulders, take a few deep breaths in and out of your nose. Now we're going to begin breathing by forcefully exhaling through our nose and then forcefully inhaling at a rate of 1 to 1, 1 second to one breath. So it'll sound something like this. So you are breathing out forcefully for a second and in forcefully for a second. So you can see how your breath is cycling through. Make sure your breath is coming from your belly. So Bastrika breathing, it's supposed to release toxins from your body, clean the lungs. In 1 second, out 1 second. Keep going, release those toxins, and relax. Thanks for breathing with me.
He knows what movies are worth watching and what ones aren't. And if you're streaming shows, he's got your hits and misses there too. Here's Tim Lammers. Brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant.
Butcher, what happened?
My wife. She's alive. Vought's holding a gift of somewhere. And right now, we're in a little bit of trouble.
Oh, boy. Season 2 of The Boys on Amazon Prime. Tim Lammers streaming reviews always brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorney seeking justice for the injured. Find them at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. And Tim is joining us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. My oldest son convinced me to watch this series, Tim. I'm fascinated. It's violent. It's irreverent. It's laugh out loud funny at times. But you do not want to watch this with kids or your mother-in-law.
No, you do not, Paul. Oof. I am so glad you pointed that out right away, because it's not at all what I expected. I mean, now we have season 2. People were, again, I had to be reminded by people, you got to see this, you got to see it. So, you know, it actually came out before we started doing the streaming segment here. So I finally caught that first season, and it wasn't at all what I expected. But, yes, it's everything that you described there, and ultra-violent. My God, I mean, it's got all the makings of a superhero movie, except for they're all super, well, I shouldn't say all of them, but most of them are super villains.
They're horrible. Flawed.
Deeply flawed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Homelander, what the heck?
It's a lot of social commentary on, you know, the way society is with the corporatization of things. In this case, it's, you know, the corporate superheroes are corporatized, you know. They're being sold to the public as these good things that save people, et cetera, et cetera. But basically, they're brought to life through, you know, corporate PR and the marketing team. But there are people whose lives have been drastically affected by these people, and they want to get even. They're called the Boys. It's a small group that wants to find a way to destroy, again, most of these superheroes. A couple of them have good hearts and are good intention and are willing to help them. But, you know, they're facing a multi-billion-dollar corporation here, so the fight is not easy. And this season in particular picks up with the corporation landed this national defense contract. So in addition to the military and all the other branches, you have these superheroes that don't have to answer to anybody when they go into the fight against terrorists, et cetera. So Very interesting, very thought-provoking, but again, not for family viewing, that's for sure.
No.
I know. My brother convinced me to watch this one, and I think I stopped after the first episode. We're going to move on to
yeah,
your next
say,
one.
Probably exploded or something, Jordana.
Yeah,
that was probably enough for you.
Yeah.
Even at this point, I just wanted entertainment, and there was like sexual harassment in the first episode. I'm
it goes to
some style
dark,
it down.
Dark places.
Yeah.
I mean, this is really heavy-handed stuff. In fact, the Amazon rating on it is 18+, so they're not kidding. It's really, really tough to watch at times. But, yeah, again, very irreverent and very funny at times, too. So, yeah, it's all over the board.
This looks like a fun one. It's called The Sleepover.
How would somebody take your parents? Look, this is Mom's necklace. She never takes this off, ever. She's trying to tell us something. Look, the symbols match. This could help us find them.
What are you doing here?
Who's that?
My fiancé.
What is happening?
We were big time smugglers.
Then we went into witness protection.
Everything was my fault. I got us involved with a dangerous man named Jean-Paul Deauville.
Jean-Paul Deauville?
Jean-Paul Deauville.
Jean-Paul Deauville.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying, what you're saying.
Close enough.
Yeah. Close enough.
It sounds funny.
You know, it's I needed something to balance out the boys, so I purposely sought this one out. This is a tween comedy, probably would be the best audience, an 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old, that sort of crowd that would like it. It's a family movie, though. Malin Ackerman plays a woman. She's in a crime syndicate. She's put on a witness protection program, but her cover is blown, and she and her husband have been kidnapped, and she's forced back into the old life that she's trying to escape, but the kids put their heads together and they try to rescue Mom and Dad. So I don't know, Jordana, if you saw the Magic Mike movies or not, but Joe Manganiello is in this one.
I haven't seen them. You know how pure I
but
am.
But you certainly know what they're about.
I do.
He's Mr. Hunk. I mean, you know, I'm embarrassed to be even in the same room as the TV when this guy's on the big screen. But I really like him, you know. And yeah, I mean, this is fun. But again, you got to know that this is for a goofball comedy audience, a family audience. Don't take it too seriously. Good action. Some twists in the plot. Again, something to balance out the whole evening watching the boys. Keep the kids out of the room, but you can bring them back in to watch this one together. Again, it's called The Sleepover on Netflix, I should note.
Very cool.
It looks really cute. So, Tim, I watched the movie, the chess movie that you gave to us on Friday. Paul, you didn't hear this one. With John Leguizamo. Fantastic. I absolutely loved it. Great film. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. But, you know, I wanted to point out the violence aspect because Jordana texted me and said, you didn't tell me this was going to happen. And something really tough to watch happens near the beginning of the film. But, again, it's a true story. So you have these wonderful moments, inspirational moments. But you got to know where these kids came from, these underserved kids. And they came from a rough neighborhood. And bad things happen in these neighborhoods. So I think that probably contributed to why you liked it so much, though, because they overcame the odds.
Yeah, it was a great film. Tell Paul the name of it so he can
It's called Critical Thinking. It's new on video on demand. John Leguizamo directed it, his feature film directorial debut. He also stars in it. But it's about the first ever inner city chess team. This was in 1998 in Miami. They became the first high school chess team from the inner city to win the national chess championship. So it was really, really great, true life story that, again, is very, very inspirational. But, again, it's dosed with some hard doses of reality as well.
Yeah.
Tim, you consistently have great recommendations. I'm watching Away,
which
you recommended on Netflix. And I'm up to, I think, episode 6 or 7. You know it's a good series when you don't want it to end. There are 10 episodes. Again, first manned mission to Mars, unlike any sci-fi I've ever seen. And there are rumors that Netflix may come out with a season 2. I sure hope so. But thank you.
Yeah.
Wish you the very best, Tim. Always fun having you on.
Yeah, all right. Thank you very much, Paul. Thank you, Jordana. We'll talk with you in a few days for this week's movies.
Absolutely. Looking forward
to it.
Have a good day.
When we get back, Sloan Martin joins us from the newsroom next. Welcome back. It's 3:50. Paul and Jordana, thank you for spending some time with us today. Sloan Martin is in the newsroom. She talked with a University of Minnesota tennis player, whose sport was cut last week. And we know that high school and college sports and athletes are really suffering during COVID. So Sloan, gosh, this must have been devastating for this player.
It absolutely was, and it was something where he didn't see it coming. So this tennis player is an incoming senior, Jackson Allen. He's from Shakopee, had always dreamed of playing tennis at the U, and that was something that was he was just looking forward to for most of his life. And he has a friend, he said, at the University of Iowa, and their men's tennis program was one of four sports that were cut as the Hawkeyes are facing a projected $100 million budget shortfall due to the economic impacts from COVID-19. And he said, of course, he felt bad and expressed, you know, his condolences to his friend, but it wasn't until it happened to him that it really set in. And it was shocking. It was frustrating. And he said that they're still holding out hope, these three sports, men's tennis, gymnastics, and track and field. They're holding a rally tomorrow to garner support, feeling like before the regions bring this up, which is coming up at a later date, we don't know exactly when, they feel like there's still hope.
I couldn't help but noticing, Sloan, and I know that the newsroom has been reporting this, and it's still unofficial. Ted Carter, University of Nebraska president, caught in front of a hot mic, and apparently down in Lincoln earlier this morning, he said that we're getting ready to announce the Huskers and Big Ten football tonight. No official announcement from the Big Ten. I hope the rumors are true. My question is, if football is back, if the Big Ten is back, does that change the calculus for some of these other sports? Could there be money available to support these other programs?
You know, it's an interesting question and maybe a math problem that only the highest level of people are able to deal with. And of course, I want to put out there, Paul, too, that we don't know again that this is official. We know that Nebraska has probably been the most vocal of all Big Ten schools and really calling out administration and leadership, including Commissioner Kevin Warren, and trying to get a football season happening. I'm looking just now at an article from the AP citing the University of Wisconsin chancellor, who said that there's still questions about COVID-19 testing and tracing, questions about possible long-term health, heart issues related to the coronavirus. So there's at least one here on the record saying that they're still unsure. So still no answers there yet. But this was also the problem that Jackson Allen, the tennis player, and other athletes at the U who are affected, 58 of them in these three programs, say that why this is going to save $2 million in the fiscal year 2022 out of a $75 million budget shortfall. Are there other ways to cut down $2 million? And they projected up to $2.7 million by 2024. Are there other ways that we can attack this? Now, the five biggest salaries of the coaching staff, they have taken a 10% pay cut for a sustained period here. But one quote that I used in my reporting was Alan saying, I would eat at Chipotle for every meal as opposed to having a bigger, you know, per diem or however, you know, they go about getting their meals on the road than have my sport cut and thinking about the future there. So that's where the math, I think, does get more complicated, Paul, because we're still looking at either no fans or very few. And maybe they're able to recoup that with maybe some TV money if they do have a football season that ends up in the spring, being reported right now as 8 games. I've seen a couple reports out there, again, not official. So that's potentially 4 home games. Is that going to help? Could that save these teams? It's hard to know.
Right. Okay.
I also heard an athlete saying, you know, they've been wanting to cut certain sports for a while, and this is just their opportunity. Did you hear any of that?
Yeah, well, that was actually exactly what Jackson Allen said. And of course, we don't know what exactly the thinking is, but coming from him, this is what he thought. He thought that there should have been at least more fundraising going into this. And that was actually expressed by another regent, Michael Hsu, who said the same thing, that should there be more fundraising before we decide to cut these teams? Does this really move the needle in trying to decrease this budget shortfall that's quite large and estimated $75 million. However, every member of the Board of Regents did express at least some kind of support moving forward. So they're holding the rally tomorrow, hoping that they still have a chance to change some of the minds of the Board of Regents. But in the most recent meeting, which was last Friday, they did at least indicate support moving forward.
Okay. Sloan Martin, we appreciate the update. You take care of yourself. Thank you.
Thank you.
When we get back, a guy who makes a living, a really good living, getting stung by exotic insects. Yeah.
What? What?
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Just wait till you hear how much money he makes every month.
I can't wait.
Surreal.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.